This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, it's Raise Your Game, and I've got Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5 Echo here, and this is our Calm Intelligence series. We're concluding the series. Of course, calm, in this case, not so simple, but I guess the idea is to stay calm. Calm being contrast, align, less is more, and today we're talking on M, which is mindfulness in the marketplace of hyper-change for agility, right? So mindfulness anyway. So, you know, we've covered a lot about mindfulness on Raise Your Game, and a lot about has spoken about, you know, it turned from personal to business as well, right? So how does this apply in this case, in calm?
Okay, well, think about in the moment when you are going through a hyper change. In other words, some rug has been pulled from under your feet. How can you stay calm and mindful? Because a lot of times when we talk about mindful, people think of a monastic existence where you take a week off to have a Vipassana retreat, right? You go to the mountains and you meditate on nature as you take the nature walks. Lovely thought, but not in the middle of a merger and acquisition, not in the middle of a career change, not in the middle when you've just given birth to a little baby who needs you. So it's all kind of... So in the mindful part of calm is not to hold your breath, but to breathe it through,
okay,
as we know in antenatal classes. But anyway, you know, like take the breath in and breathe it out. And notice how you can clear your senses by becoming mindful just in the moment. Just say, look, I'm going to take 2 minutes off. That's all. And mindfulness in the marketplace is a practice that we started to work with business leaders, because a lot of times they complain their world is getting much more complex. They don't have time for anything, and everybody comes to them for decisions. And my decision has to be good. Mm. So we think about it. Let's oxygenate our brain. So whenever you feel that little overwhelm, you know, when there is less is becoming more, you just take a deep breath. And we can even try this together. I normally say just sit into your seat, you know, balance your feet on the ground. Take a deep breath, feeling your abdomen rise, because it's better to breathe into your abdomen. And count to 6 as you're breathing in. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hold it for 3, 2, 3. Breathe out for 6. So breathe out really slowly. And then again, breathe in. Count to 6. Hold for 3 into your abdomen. You can even put your hand on your abdomen and feel it lower as you breathe out for 6. Do this for 10 counts. So in other words, just do this, which means that you've actually just gone to about just a little over 1.5 minutes to about 2 minutes. And notice just that we've only done 2 rounds of this, how much stiller your body is.
Yeah.
How much clearer your mind is. So if you just did that before you looked at your problem again, that's called mindfulness in the marketplace.
Mm.
So you're not taking a monastic retreat somewhere.
Yeah.
You're taking a retreat, a re-hyphen treat of yourself. Cherish yourself, cherish your body, cherish your capabilities. Take that mindfulness step of just doing that exercise. And we found that people can, and that's when you're in your own office.
Right, not when you're driving.
Not when you're driving, right? So people say, what about when I'm driving or I'm in the middle of a boardroom meeting and I suddenly start doing this count? Like people will be going, that person is a weirdo.
When I'm having my conversation with the boss.
Right, right. So I've often, when you're in a very important meeting, I say to people, now and then I need to clear my mind. So you can frame it by saying, because this is a really important meeting and I need to make some decisions, sometimes you'll notice that I'm pausing, sometimes closing my eyes or looking out the window, because not that I'm ignoring you, I am thinking it through. And it normally takes me about a couple of minutes to clear my mind. Do you have a problem with that, should that happen? Particularly if you're asking me a direct question. So you can frame that. I call this vipassana in the boardroom. Because in other words, you're doing a 2-minute silence. And I've even spoken to chairmen who said, if you want to leverage more of your other people to give ideas, how often chairmen or CEOs take over a meeting because they have to ask all the questions. So you can also do what I call a a three-quarter Vipassana retreat in your board meeting. So you have, let's say, a one-hour board meeting, and you come in and you say, this morning, I'd like to just sit back and observe. I'll open the meeting, and then I'm going to sit back and observe. Because to me, reflection of what the team is contributing gives you space also to contribute and for me to look for patterns,
right.
which we've also covered in the last session about less is more. That gives you about... That gives such a discipline because a lot of senior leaders want to jump in because I can answer that. I can do that. And it forces you into a habit of listening. So which brings us to, like I said, another level of mindfulness is sitting back and just taking in the present moment for 1 hour in the meeting and just looking at your people, noticing the energies. You also start noticing nonverbals that you didn't see before. And so like a grandmaster of chess, you're now seeing the chessboard being played in your own boardroom of who's working well together that's not being recognized and who is having some issues and conflict that they may even be unconscious of. But imagine you can do that. So that gives you another, like I said, mindfulness in the marketplace, some place where you can practice mindfulness without having to retreat. Now, obviously, the more you practice it like this, it becomes easier. And in terms of business terms, leadership, in the sense of being able to do two skills. One, situational sensibility. And I mean to be able to sense the situation through using your five senses. So watching, hearing, feeling, even tasting or smelling the stuff in the room. You know, like sometimes something smells fishy. And it's not necessarily a smell, but something has triggered in you to know that something untoward is happening. So again, this mindfulness allows you to tap into your situational sensibility, which is one key leadership skill. The second one is responsibility. So now that you've actually taken it in, you can now look at the patterns we talked about. Because now you're playing grand chess, now you're ticking into the patterns. Then your next move is, how do you respond to that situation to leverage the best moment and or put people into action? So this is mindfulness in practice.
Okay.
Simple.
Right. Now, what about, you know, like, you know, something that I haven't been doing lately, but just waking a little bit earlier on and meditating, whether it's meditating or, you know, you could be reading your spiritual book and then meditating on the word. And it just sort of like gives you a big view, starts you on the right path. And then somehow I go to work a lot more happy. Like I said, I haven't done that lately. But anyway, what about that? Is in that case also mindfulness?
Oh, absolutely. And to our point, in order to be active in the marketplace, being a mindful person, you need to have little doses of practice. So your own personal practice, because if you come in all jittery, you're going to evoke that jitteriness in everyone. So it's like that drop of water on a calm lake. You come in as a drop of water, everybody ripples. So the morning practice is really important. I think too often we rush out thinking that, oh, we're so important, we've got to get there. So wake up that 5 minutes extra, like you say. I have some of the people I'm coaching do very simple exercises. Like one lady that I coached, she is in pre-sales. So very, you know, got to go out there, meet lots of people. She's got a family of three young children. So she gets up way before everybody wakes up. 5 minutes, she puts on the kettle. She listens to it whistle. She makes her cup of tea. It's almost her little tea ceremony.
Okay.
She sits there and she watches the sunrise. And she said, sometimes it only takes me 5 minutes to make my tea, 5 minutes, but it just clears my head for the rest of the day. 10 minutes of my tea ceremony. And she said, what happens is that a lot of times I just let my mind wander through the nature and be in the moment. Any thoughts that come through, she says, it's like watching traffic. Move on.
move on.
Okay, red color, move on. It's not that important. I'll deal with it after my 10 minutes. And she just does that. And secondly, what I do is I write my morning pages. So it's basically a little journal where I've been doing a redoing Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. And it's a 3-month program where every day you write morning pages. And only after the second month do you read back your morning pages. So sometimes your morning pages are just squiggles of it's a hazy day. What a rotten thing to be happening in our world. And you kind of, it's almost like blogging to yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes you write this beautiful poetry that just comes out and you don't know where it comes from. Maybe you're channeling some spiritual demon that Elizabeth Gilbert talked about, you know, that gives you that, you know, that inspiration. So I do 3 pages of morning pages every day, and that stills my mind because it's active, it's writing, but it forces me into a more inner world.
Mm.
And it's in the now. Whatever triggers me, I just write. Even if they say, hey, there's nothing to write about, there is nothing to write about. And just watch it flow. I also read back again or read spiritual scriptures, and that helps as well.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what does mindfulness have to do with agility? We'll discuss that after this. Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5 Echo in our Calm Intelligence series. You're listening to Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Hello, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. It's our Calm Intelligence series. We're concluding it today with Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5 Echo. Of course, calm, C meaning contrast, A meaning align, C, L being less is more, and M is mindfulness. And so we are onto mindfulness. You know, we spend a bit of time talking about meditating and just being mindful of that little bit of time, you know, before we get going. But mindfulness and agility, how does that compare? Or, you know, it feels like a contrast, but how does that compare?
Okay, let's go back to when I say there are 2 leadership skills. One was the situational sensibility. So notice what's changing in the environment in the now. 2, responsibility. So how do you respond quickly? So if you marry them 2 together, if you are not aware of your surroundings in the moment, how you respond would probably get you into deeper problems, whereas it gives you the agility to bounce back because you now have maybe a few options because you've noticed a few openings that you can move. So it gives you the ability to change direction quickly because you know where the obstacles are. Mm. So that's one. Secondly, when you're mindful, remember we did say you did need to take time out regularly for yourself to become practiced in mindfulness. So mindfulness to me is the leader's battery recharge. So if you think of our energy systems in our body being leveraged through 4, and I'm going to use another acronym. Australians love PIES. So it's going to spell PIES. P for physical, your physical energy, which we need, our nutrition, our sleep, eating the right stuff. I, intellectual. Are you stimulating your intellectual ability by reading new things, learning new things, having interesting conversations with new people, with new perspectives? E, are you emotionally energized? Are you hanging around with people that emotionally keeps you joyful? Mm. Are you hanging around with people that are energy vampires? Mm. How are you, if you are and you need to hang around them because they are family, then how do you recharge
it?
How do you recharge? Because I always believe in flow. Don't block them from your life. How do you actually recharge even more of your emotional energy through doing leisurely hobbies and recreation that recreates yourself, that retreats you, so that you can have more energy to when you see your beautiful mother-in-law? Sorry, I shouldn't do mother-in-law jokes. I'm so naughty about that. Okay, I love you, my mother-in-law. Actually, ex-mother-in-law. So emotional energy. And last but not least, your spiritual energy. Spiritual doesn't have to mean religious, even though a lot of people find spirituality through the reading scriptures, attending communal, you know, gatherings. But just having a spiritual relationship with nature, having a spiritual relationship with the earth for a bigger purpose, a higher purpose than just for your ego getting that new position. So how do you energize yourself is the key to agility. Because as we found, just even those 2 minutes of breathing, earlier in the session, we've given us more energy physically because you've actually, you know, energized yourself and oxygenated. It's clear your brain or the eye. You're emotionally more settled. And you're connecting, I guess we say, with something bigger than yourself, because where does this air come from, right? So to me, if you can practice that as a leader, you have the energy source to bounce back faster. And then again, part of the mindfulness thing is around being a resilient, not only in your physical exercise, but emotional resilience. When you get knocked down, and this is part of the experience, I've spoken to a lot of leaders who've become much more successful, and a lot of them say, I've had to take that beating to get an experience to know how to move past that, or else I'm stuck in my arrogance. And I thought, wow, I got to take that on. So our emotional resilience, a lot of the experiences that we have, help us build that. So mindfulness in the marketplace, it's celebrating those experiences. Of course, when it hits you, yeah, it's the last thing you're going to think about.
Yeah.
But being able to stop, pause and say, okay, what can I learn from this? And the sooner you bounce back, the sooner you don't hold this negative, heavy, dense energy that pulls you down. So know that you're feeling down and then say, okay, what's that teaching me? So this is mindfulness in the marketplace, which builds your agility because you have the energy and the practice to bounce back.
I like what you just said about stuck in, not get stuck in arrogance, right? Okay, so putting it all together, remind us why calm intelligence is the strategic thinking tool we need today.
Okay, let's go back to the first session when we talked about, you know, calm intelligence. Calm, again, is an acronym, but it also is a state. We all are encouraged to be calm in crisis, agile in adversity. So calm intelligence actually came about when I was having a conversation with one of my mentors, Rodney Marks, if you're listening to this. He's a corporate hoaxer. He's a really intelligent man. And he sat down with me one day and he said, you and Mark in Five Echo are working on this VUCA in the business world. You're working in hybrid change. You've both had a background in military. What is one key thing that the military needs when they go into a, you know, adverse terrain? What do you need to be really good at? And we said, you know, in hyper change, the best thing to be is calm. You need to be able to stop and reflect, take in what's happening in the world, you know, really mindfully check on the situation, cut down to the bare minimum so you can excite people to move forward and move away from this mess to this great, compelling outcome. He said, calm. And you need some intelligence, right? He said, I think you guys are talking about calm intelligence. I went, Rodney, you're beautiful. And he said, do you think you could talk about calm intelligence as an antidote to VUCA? And he said, yeah, because VUCA is the situation in the mess.
Yeah.
Calm intelligence being stopping to think, and then doing what we also teach, something called VUCA primes, which is getting the outcome by doing this to get the outcome. So I went, so the calm intelligence is surveying, getting all the intel so that you can move forward calmly. So one day I had a dream after that. I can't believe I dream in acronyms. So I woke up and one day I said in the morning to Mark, I now know what CALM stands for. He said, not another acronym. I said, in a dream. And that's where I was actually dreaming I was doing this lecture.
Right.
And this came up. So it's CALM, C for contrast. A. Contrast from the mess that we're in to that compelling future so that we can move away from our dissatisfaction towards a focus. And in fact, I've just recently read this book called Reinvention. Please read my friends. Shane Cragen and Kate Sweetman from the United States have just published a book called Reinvention, The Art of Disruption. And they have a formula. They say dissatisfaction times focus. In other words, it's reinvention is proportionate to dissatisfaction and focus. So we're talking about contrast here. When you can contrast the dissatisfaction with a compelling focus, this can leverage your reinvention. Times execution and alignment. So in other words, you have to align the people. So it's proportionate to the amount of alignment you can get for the reinvention. Execution. You can actually execute better because you have... You actually understand the less is more, right? And I'm going to come back to that. So A for alignment, aligning your people, aligning your aptitude, aligning your attitudes so that they're all rowing in the same direction. Complementing your strengths with your vulnerabilities that you need to know so that you can partner to them. So less is more, the next L, is the execution piece. Because when the complexity becomes so great when you're trying to reinvent something, it's like spring cleaning. You've got all that information out there, and which one do you throw out and which one do you keep? Mm. So you sift out what you think you need for the next year, because you've just done spring cleaning right in spring. So the less is more part is that execute. Which one do I package from the information that's relevant? Which one do I find patterns that link to where the compelling future is? Which part is the priority that I'll take winning moves on because I can do it instantly with my team aligned, because it doesn't seem so crazy. It's quite obvious. It's easy. It's easy to get to, and it's high impact. But I'll keep a couple of crazy ideas that are difficult to maneuver, but very easy, well, high impact. So these are the options that most of my competitors will ignore. Mm. I'll spend my 20% of my time leveraging that, because that is less is more. I will spend a little time on this, but nobody else is. Mm. So that's execute. And coming back to the last part of the formula, said it is actually exponentially important that you have leadership. So when you come about leadership, it comes to our last M, which is mindfulness. It starts with the leader. You have a jittery leader, you have a jittery team. You have an anxious leader, you have an anxious team. You have a reactive leader, you have a reactive team. The leader leads the culture. Mm. So if you've got a mindful leader, it helps the reinvention have this big, this big formula, which is actually underpinned by calm intelligence. So by consciousness, we seem to have come to the same conclusion that disruption needs all that. One more point with the reinvention formula. All that, dissatisfaction, focus, alignment, execution, and leadership has to be greater than the cost of change. Mm. And I'll say that. All those five factors have to be greater than the cost of change, because if it's easier to stay back, nobody wants to change.
Right.
So which comes back again to the calm, back to the contrast of the mess. Do we want to stay in our mess? Is it easier to stay in our mess? Is it easier to double park, like in Malaysia? Is it easier to maybe pay a bit of kopi money here to get things done? Or do we want to have a more integrous society where we actually start thinking about, you know, maybe it's a bit harder to change the culture, but I'll start with me as the leader.
Yeah.
But all that five factors has to be greater than the cost of change, because if not, we all won't move. Reinvention dies.
Mm.
So that's what calm intelligence is. How do we look at that messy VUCA world that we're in? How do we surf it through calm intelligence to get to the other side better? Mm. So disrupt before you're disrupted.
Right. I'm going to go to sleep and come up with my own formula and my own acronym after this. I'm going to wake up and I'll call you and let you know. Thanks for being with us the last 4 weeks. Dr. Yvonne Sam from 5ECHO in our Calm Intelligence series. Of course, you know, you can listen to the whole series via podcast. Go to bfm.my. This is Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.